Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Hold one. Arm drag.
Don't tell me.
Welcome to Hit the Books, the only weekly realistic fantasy booking podcast in the universe. That means that every single week we book our own episodes of Raw and SmackDown. All the matches, all the promos, all the rivalries, all the storylines, every single thing, every pay-per-view too. We are coming off of a huge Survivor Series show and coming into the road to TLC. I am your host, as always, Ryan 19. With me, as always, is the spicy nugget himself, Mikey Manfredi. Mikey, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. This is a great day. We're coming back from Survivor Series. We're getting pumped up for the newest pay-per-view coming up, TLC. I'm stoked. Let's get into this.
Yeah, I'm coming at it with real energy today. Real raw sugar energy. And by that I mean I had no raw sugar. I did have 4 powdered donuts. So I guess it is in a way raw sugar.
Wait, like regular sized powdered donuts?
No, the small mini size.
Oh, okay.
Donuts.
I was like, damn,
I'm not
dude.
A monster.
I was like, damn, dude. Just crushing them today, huh?
Yeah. Speaking of food, a topic that we always talk about on the show. I had today, a pancake in a cup.
I had just regular pancakes for breakfast.
Oh, look at that symmetry! But have you ever had that? Aunt Jemima or the power cake thing, where it's they give you a, you know, like the mac and cheese bowl sort of thing
I
that
have
you can just
not
cook like in college.
Before.
So you take it, you put like fill up to the fill line, put in the microwave for a minute, and then who, bing, Bob's your uncle. You got a pancake in a cup.
Bob's your uncle is such a weird phrase. Like, no, I don't have an Uncle Bob.
I do have an Uncle Bob. I believe actually he's my godfather, which means that I am forced to give him money every couple of months, or else he'll break my kneecaps. Is that a fun joke?
I think it's like so weird. When people are like, "Bing bang boom, Bob's your uncle." I'm like, no, it's not. It's not my uncle. It's your uncle.
Where's
maybe.
I'm gonna look up. Where is Bob's your uncle? Maybe it's the verb Bob. Like,
maybe.
I'm picking up uncles with my mouth. let's see. Bob's your uncle. Let's see. Wikipedia. A phrase commonly used. Today is the learning episode, apparently. Used in Ireland, United Kingdom. Means that there is. Blah, 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 blah. The origins are uncertain, but a common theory is that the expression across the Conservative Prime Minister Robert Gascoigne Cecil, otherwise known as Bob because his name's Robert, appointed his nephew Arthur Balfour as Chief Secretary of Ireland in 1887, an act of nepotism, which is apparently both surprising and unpopular. Whatever other qualifications Balfour might have had, Bob's your uncle was seen as the conclusive one.
Okay, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, I like that story, though. The main weakness in this theory is that the first documented usage of Bob's Your Uncle is the title of a review as the Victoria Theatre, Dundee, in June 1924. If Salisbury's notorious nepotism towards Dorothy Fuller in the 1880s, why so widely spoken of to inspire a popular phrase, is perhaps unlikely it would have been taken nearly 40 years for it to appear in print for the first time. That's fair, but I also do like that story a lot, where they're just like, well, Bob's your uncle, you know, nepotism, baby. Everyone's favorite isms. Nepotism. Schisms. Mikey, any more isms?
More isms, skepticisms, mysticisms.
Mysticisms, reflexisms. Is that a word? No, it's not.
Anyway.
Here to talk about Bob's your uncle. We're here. I gave you at the start of the show, we're here booking our own version. I'm heading Raw. Mikey's heading SmackDown. I've been thinking a lot about like the Survivor Series, because Survivor Series, not just in our world, but in the, you know, in the actual WWE landscape, is always a pay-per-view cycle in the past couple of years that people don't like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the complaints about like there's no stakes and all this other stuff. And I was thinking about this, Mikey, and I don't know if you would agree, but I think I've come to the conclusion of why the draft happens right before Survivor Series.
Why is that?
My theory is that Bob is Vince McMahon's uncle, so that my theory is that I don't know, like, when I was writing this card for today's episode, I was kind of having a difficult time coming up with stuff, because the conclusion I came to that is like, well, the draft happened, and this is like kind of the first real episode where we have to come up with storylines for our wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, the draft, there's storylines happening, but it's kind of just like, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, up in the air, nothing's really mattering, it's just sort of like we're doing things.
Mm-hmm.
So I came to the, my thought process there is like, I think they do the draft right before Survivor Series because it gives the writers like 3-4 weeks to come up with ideas for post Survivor Series.
Bold idea.
That's my bold pitch, is that I really think, I was thinking about this a lot. I was like, I really think, because writing Survivor Series build is just sort of like, okay, and then we're going to fight the other brand, and this is what's happening. And, you know, I did some interesting stuff this time around. You did the qualifying matches, which are also very easy, because you're just like, ah, qualifying match, immediate stakes into the match.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. I don't have to tell the story, because it's just the match. You know, but it's just like, I don't know. I've been thinking about that a lot. It was like, I think that is the actual reason. But the problem is, on top of that, is like this, that would only make Survivor Series more interesting if they stuck, like we have, with the brand split. Whereas, you know, you get cool matches for the first time in forever or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you get to book internally.
Yeah. Or, for instance, I texted you afterwards, the Shayna Baszler-Sasha Banks match. That is a first time ever in our universe, if I'm not mistaken. And it is the number one woman on Raw versus the number one woman on SmackDown. Not just because of champions, but literally according to our rankings. According to the overall rankings, it's number two person, Shayna Baszler, versus number one person on SmackDown, Sasha Banks.
Pretty good.
Like,
pretty high stakes match right there.
Yeah, and that in this universe is a huge high stakes match that hasn't happened in forever, since Sasha Banks came to the main roster. And if we screwed around and like had people cross brands all the time, then you know that match would have happened already, possibly.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm thinking about that a lot recently, about why a lot of people don't like Survivor Series anymore.
I don't know. I'm still because
I liked
still
it. 2016 was great. 2016 Survivor Series was great. Mm-hmm. I love that one a lot.
But I like last year's Survivor Series a lot, actually.
I don't remember any. Oh, that was the NXT one.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
I like that. I think that one, they did well with the interesting build, because the story that they were able to, easy story they were able to create is any, you know, NXT invasion stuff.
Yeah. NXT being like, listen, we're just as good as you guys. Don't mess with us.
And then as soon as Survivor Series is over, they can go back to doing whatever their, you know, whatever their brands themselves are doing.
Yeah.
Which is also the funniest thing about Survivor Series, is just sort of like, there's no real fallout. Like, it's just like, and then they go back to whatever else they're doing.
It also gets some publicity on, and but it also gets, like, the people who only watch Raw and SmackDown, it introduces them to the NXT roster, you know?
Exactly.
Damn, look at these guys.
They never publish it, but I would love to know, like, specifically. Well, I guess it was also NXT was already on the net NXT was on the USA Network at that point.
Yeah,
actually, I do remember
they were trying to showcase it more because they wanted people to go watch it on Wednesdays.
I, If I'm not mistaken, during that build, like, NXT had, like, a bump in ratings because, like, the main roster people were like, oh, no, I gotta watch NXT now because it's part of this storyline.
Yeah, because NXT also just rules, I've heard recently. Like, it's just good.
Hold on. You heard that recently?
I don't know. I haven't actually watched it. I just heard it's been good.
Well, I'll tell you this much. They are about to do a blindfold match between Cameron Grimes and Dexter Lumis.
Ah, fun.
In front of no crowd.
Ah, great.
And let me tell you about part of that Cameron Grimes storyline. He thinks one of the referees is a zombie.
Oh, yeah?
That's not a joke. Not a joke. Since Halloween Havoc, he believes that one of the referees is a zombie, and it's tough for him to get through matches now because the referee was a zombie.
Awesome. Love it.
I'm not saying you can enjoy it. I'm just saying that the fact of the matter is that there is about to be a blindfold match.
The fact of the matter is shit's about to be wild.
Shit's crazy. Speaking of crazy shit, let's get into the actual show. As I've already teed up, I was about to tee up a third time. I felt myself doing it. But before we actually get to it, we have to address not really the elephant in the room, but two things that on our list of agendas that we need to get to. Two people have returned, Naomi and Ruby Riott. Ruby Riott technically returned last week. Naomi returned the week previous. They're both free agents, neither of which were drafted to either brand. So we need to settle this sort of where they're going, what they're doing thing, and come up with some sort of agreement on how we're doing that, Mikey. So, I don't know, let's open the floor. Is there anyone in particular that you would like to have on your brand, or would you like both, neither? What were you thinking?
I mean, I don't know, right? I don't know. I would like to have, I mean, I would obviously like to have both, but I don't want to leave you with nothing. I think for me, either way, I'm okay. Like, if Ruby Riott goes to Raw, I'm good. If Naomi goes to Raw, I'm good, and I get Ruby Riott or whatever. I think no matter what happens, I'm okay. But I would like one of them.
Well, I was thinking that, like, if one of us wanted both of them, the other person can give up something. Or offer like a randomizer hit or like some sort of, you know, equal opportunity screwing.
I don't know. How do you want to decide who gets who here?
I don't know. Because I've been really thinking about adding Ruby Riott into my ranks, but the more and more I'm thinking about like the stories that I'm trying to tell, the less and less I'm thinking about having Ruby Riott on my roster. I was like, just looking at the rosters themselves. I mean, I have 13 people, or you have 12 people. It's pretty even already, so there's not really a huge difference there. But I was just sort of thinking, like, man, I really wanted Ruby Riott. I really like Ruby Riott. But the more and more I think about it, I was like, I don't know if I want Ruby Riott. And my fear of getting Naomi is that I currently have no idea what to do with Naomi. So my fear is that Naomi just might be, like, lower card, not really anything. Until I think of something for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like doing that, like getting someone specifically just to be like, I got nothing for you. Because I got a lot of people that I like a lot. You know, a lot of people I'm pushing, a lot of people I'm, you know, things I'm doing. And with Naomi, I'm just sort of like, I don't know. And sadly, I feel like that's the same thing for me, what's happening with Ruby Riott is, as I'm thinking of ideas, I'm just like, well, where do I do Ruby Riott? Like, if I get Ruby Riott, it's like, well, I also got, like, Sonya Deville in there, and they're kind of similar-ish, not really, but, you know, they kind of have a similar vibe and character, honestly. You know, I can amp up Sonya Deville's, I guess her character was sort of crazy or something. I don't really know what her character was before she left, but I don't know. You know, I'm just sort of like, I really don't know. and that's also probably the reason why we haven't decided on any, what to do with these people at so ever. So I don't know. What are you thinking, Mikey? Do you have a preference? I'm really okay if you shoot for something and what? Do not worry about me. I don't know. I feel like honestly, both of us want neither of them. I don't know.
Yeah, for me, it makes the most sense for me not to get Ruby Riott because of how she kind of went out. You know, she went out saying that she wanted to separate herself from Undisputed Era. It wasn't working out. She wanted to do her own thing for a little bit. So her going to Raw makes sense. But I'm kind of in the same boat. It's like, I don't really have much for either of them right now. So, like, I don't know what I want to do.
Oh, I get you. Because that's my fear, is that the moment I pick up either of them, that also means there's someone on this roster I'm no longer using as much.
I'm perfectly content with you get Ruby, I get Naomi.
I think I can settle on that. I'm not the most happy about it, but I think I can settle on it. I think I can probably, I think I can come up with more ideas for Ruby Riott than Naomi.
Okay, so you want to just do that?
Sure, okay. Let's do that. I'll take Ruby Riott.
I will take Naomi.
That's good. You know, you got a little build-in from Bianca Belair and Naomi as a tag team. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Ruby Riott, you know, I can do something with, probably include her in the Liv Morgan storyline somewhere.
Yeah.
Or easily, you know, go back into Ruby Riott, Shayna Baszler.
Also true.
You know, since that was an old rivalry back in the day.
That was a good rivalry back in the day.
Plus, we also got Bayley on here, so, you know, Ruby and Bayley had a little tussle.
A little bit of a something-something.
A little bit of a tussle. Okay, well, let's get into it. Last week, or every single week, we have a randomizer poll, which goes on our Twitter for the weekend, where you can vote. You can listen to the latest episode and vote on whose card you thought was better. My version of Raw, Mikey's version of SmackDown. You can obviously go, you know, because when the episodes come out Friday, it'll be there all weekend, I think, for like 3 days or something.
Yeah.
And the poll for last week's episode has come in, Mikey. Main events of Raw was McIntyre, Black, and Murphy versus Ziggler, Gulak, and Maverick in a warm-up match for Survivor Series. SmackDown main event was Braun Strowman versus Karrion Kross for a spot on SmackDown's men's Survivor Series team. I will admit, that SmackDown main event is a lot sexier than my Raw main event. but nonetheless, the winner of last week's poll was Mikey Manfredi,
hey.
57%.
SmackDown gets another win under the belt. Loving it.
Another win. SmackDown, another win.
Starting off this season hot.
The record is 0-2-1.
Starting off this season hot, baby.
SmackDown with two wins, Raw with nothing. Which means I'm going to have to get hit by the randomizer. So thank you, Mikey. Thank you, folks at home, for not believing my Raw. I shot for the fences, and I seem to have missed. but hopefully I can come back and, you know, get some sort of redemption arc here in this cycle before TLC.
Mm-hmm.
Hope for the best. Hope for the best. Okay, well, let's get into this goddamn show. Let's start with Raw, baby.
Yeah, let's do it.
Keith Lee, he opens up Raw and is sort of in a reflective mood here. Lee says that the Survivor Series pay-per-view obviously did not go Raw's way. 2-4, you know, 2-4, guys. We did not do it. And as the WWE champion of Raw, I can't help to think that this is my fault. Maybe I should have been a better leader. Maybe I shouldn't have had those title matches before Survivor Series. I don't know what it is, but you deserve better, WWE Universe. And I'm willing to kneel down before you and repent for my mistake. That is why I am going to have a title defense tonight.
Ooh.
I will defend my WWE Championship tonight against a friend of mine that has just recently arrived to Raw, Dominik Dijakovic.
Ooh, all right. I like this already.
He's been a great rival, but more importantly, a great friend. He's a family man. He's a, just then, Roman Reigns' music hits. Dun-dun. Uh-oh.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
That's like the moment is they just put the lyrics in. Roman walks out and steps face to face with Keith Lee. After a beat, Roman takes the mic from Keith Lee's hands. And Roman tells Lee that you can defend the title all you want, but I am the rightful WWE champion. They know this. You know this, Keith. I have put every part of my soul into this job, and I deserve the accolades. In fact, what have you actually done? Your reign has amounted to nothing, and it was my duty to carry the show in your absence. You lost at Survivor Series and embarrassed this brand while I pulled my weight and was the sole survivor on Raw's team. And you can get all heated all you want, Keith. It doesn't matter. You don't belong here. I am the head of the table, and you're just keeping my seat warm. I'm coming for my destiny at TLC. You and me, 101. I earn back what is rightfully mine. And then Roman leaves the ring with the microphone.
I like the line, you're just keeping my seat warm.
Yes. Yes. A little inclusion of real life into there.
Yeah.
Head of the table into keep my seat warm. I like that a lot. Yeah, too.
Mm-hmm.
But Roman Reigns laying down the challenge. So let's see, I guess, where that's going to go.
Yeah.
Presumably a title match.
Probably. That sounds about like where it's going.
Exactly. Moving right along into the next match, it's Daniel Bryan taking on newcomer to Raw, Tony Nese, where Daniel Bryan defeats Tony Nese. Maybe not too surprising here. After the match, Daniel Bryan grabs the microphone and says that it feels good to tell all of you the truth. The problem is that when you expound truth that is too frank, it perturbs people. And to dumb it down for everybody, I mean that you people don't like me saying what is true because you know it is true. And that truth is that Edge is not the man he says he is. He's not a man of the people. He's not your hero. Edge is destroying what it means to be a wrestler, what it means to move this industry forward. Seth Rollins was right. Edge is dangerous, and I'm glad that my eyes have been opened. Our dream team was just awful fan service, nothing more. I don't want dream matches. I don't need to know who I can beat. Which reminds me of another truth, Edge. I already know I can beat you. I can beat you in this ring. I can beat you outside the arena. I can beat you United States, Canada, Mexico, England, Russia, India, Australia, and the Antarctic. I can beat you at your own game. So why should I humiliate you in front of all of your so-called fans? I know the truth, and the truth is that I can beat you. And that is why we will not wrestle. I will put my talents towards the future, giving people like Nese here opportunities that he has not had. You are not worth my time, Edge. You are not worth wrestling over.
I like that. I like that promo from Daniel Bryan. Really strong, really being like, listen, I know I could beat you in Just Does the Animaniacs List of Country song.
Yep.
And...
And what a pull.
Yeah, it's not because I haven't been watching the new series or anything, but does the list of country song from Animaniacs, and then it's just like, listen, because I know I can beat you anywhere we wrestle at any time, it's not even worth it, because clearly you're just going to lose anyway. I'm just going to win. We all already know the outcome, so why even bother doing the formalities, you know?
Exactly. Why bother with it when I can just move forward?
Exactly. I like that a lot. I like that Daniel Bryan pushing over WWE legend Edge like he is nothing. like
exactly.
He's just some jobber.
Exactly. He's just some jobber. Speaking of jobbers, we got a match next up where it's One Nation versus some jobbers.
Oh, interesting. Some
jobber tag team. One Nation, obviously, this is a squash match. One Nation utterly destroys the jobbers. And then following the match, they work breaking their legs, both the jobbers' legs.
Oh no!
A little violence out of here from One Nation.
Oh no!
Yeah, Sakura
One Nation, please.
Apollo Crews aren't playing
games.
They're
just rookies, man. Relax. They're just trying to make it.
Should have thought better. There we go, and that's that match.
Brutal. Anyway, One Nation breaks some jobbers' legs. Moving on
to a video package. It's just sort of a video package that's showcasing the history of Dijakovic's run on the indies and on NXT. Just sort of we can catch the audience up to who this person is, their story, their character, what stuff like
Makes
that.
Sense.
And if you're listening to the show, presumably I presume you know who Dominik Dijakovic is. But if you don't know, he's a five-tool player or something, and he's huge, and Keith Lee and him have a bunch of matches that are historic, I guess, in multiple companies, including several in NXT. So, you know, you can go easily to go check those out.
Yeah.
Moving right along, match number 3, Ziggler and Rude versus Lince Dorado and Oney Lorcan.
Oh, interesting team there.
Well, they've been teaming for. They teamed up last week. They actually went to blows 2 weeks ago. Lindsay Dorado got the win. Lindsay Dorado and Oney Lorcan got the win as a tag team last week, and here they are teaming again, taking on Ziggler and Rude. And guess what? Upset victory. Dorado and Lorcan get the victory.
Whoa! I like this new team that's forming between these guys. This new partnership.
Yes. This new partnership between Dorado and Lorcan by defeating Ziggler and Robert Roode. Mm-hmm. Moving right along into a backstage interview with none other than the Raw Women's Champion, Shayna Baszler. Baszler says that after Survivor Series, two things are known. One, the only people worth their stuff in this entire locker room is Roman Reigns and me. Two, not a single female in this locker room is ready for me. Heck, not even this entire company. I am the Women's Champion of WWE. No one can stop me. Not Sasha Banks, not Bayley, not Sonya Deville, not Becky Lynch. Nobody.
I like
behind Baszler.
I like Baszler being like, "It's just me and Roman here on Raw. We're the only ones. That's it.
That's it. We're the only people that matter." Behind Baszler, we hear two words, and those words are "I can." The camera pans over to reveal that it is Candice LeRae standing behind Shayna Baszler.
Interesting.
LeRae walks up to Baszler and says, "And I'm not afraid of you." Suddenly, LeRae attacks Baszler, and the two have a classic backstage brawl where LeRae stands on top by tapping out Shayna Baszler.
Whoa, big moves from LeRae here.
Yes. Last 2 weeks ago, LeRae made a save on Bayley after that Raw Women's Championship match between her and Baszler. Now LeRae is still cementing the idea, hey, I'm coming for that title.
I like it. I'm into it.
And not only that, but tapping out Baszler.
That's very interesting. That's the biggest thing for me.
Yes. Moving right along into a fun little tag team match here. It's Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke teaming up for the first time together versus Peyton Royce and Chelsea Green.
A very interesting team. Yeah, team that makes sense, actually, I feel like.
It makes sense on paper, but does not work in practice. Green and Royce just do not work well together, whereas Rose and Brooke are really showcasing a lot of tag team moves. You know, apparently they've put in the time to work on this, Royce and Green. I don't know what it was, maybe egos being not put aside or what have you. They just don't get the job done. Rose and Brooke win the match.
I like it. Pushing Rose and Brooke here. Maybe not developing a tag team between Royce and Green. But,
No.
I like it.
Hey, Chelsea Green's not Billy Kay. What can I say?
That's true.
This is true. Next up, we got a backstage interview with Liv Morgan. Morgan is asked about what happened in Survivor Series, where many are saying that she caused Rhea Ripley to be eliminated, which might have led to Team Raw's loss at Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan responds saying that she doesn't understand why people are thinking the worst of her. Why would I want Team Raw to lose? I love this brand. Why would I want us to lose matches? Why would I want to lose matches? Just thinking that is insane to me and should be to all of you. You know, I want what's the best for Raw, and I believe that is me going out on my own to become the Raw Women's Champion. You know, if Rhea still wants to be partners, then sure, we can do that every once in a while, but I'm not interested in doing that every week. I need to reassess, focus on my goals, and that is to become the Raw Women's Champion I was meant to be.
I like it. I like it a lot.
End of promo. Thoughts on promo?
I love the promo. I think it's dope. Very, very interesting because Liv is really pushing this, like, I'm not doing this idea that she's not doing anything to Rhea Ripley, possibly gaslighting the WWE Universe.
That I was going to be my follow-up question was, because I like asking you, like, specific questions when I'm trying to gauge how a storyline is. Where do you think, do you think Liv Morgan is trying to gaslight people? Do you think she's, like, innocent? What do you think's happening?
So, when this storyline first started out, I was firmly in the camp of, oh, someone took Liv's phone and has been harassing Rhea Ripley. in the name of Liv to try to break them up.
In the name of Liv? Like, the next cult I'm going
to
start?
Like, to break them up. But, so possibly they can win the titles. But now that the titles are off of them, it's like, where are the motivations here for breaking them up, you know? And it's like, now I'm starting to think that maybe it's Liv doing the gaslighting, because, like, now there's no, like, there's no reason for someone to want them broken up anymore, you know, now that they're not champions anymore, unless somebody just really just doesn't like Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan for some reason. But it's more starting to seem that Liv's facade is cracking, you know, that she's, like, putting on this face, being like, it wasn't me, when it totally was.
Yeah, she's putting on some glasses and a nice, cool button down, and putting on the strangest voice in the world and singing, it wasn't me.
Shut up.
That's the best Shaggy reference I can make here, folks. Let's move into the main event, which is the WWE Championship match between Keith Lee and Dijakovic. BT Dubs, I'm doing a classic WWE. I'm removing his first name.
No,
he's just Dijakovic now.
How dare you?
Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. Would you rather have it be T-Bar?
Fair.
Also, I was thinking, because I was like, well, I mean, there's Dominic Mysterio over on SmackDown, so maybe I shouldn't have two Dominics.
Okay.
Which is also why I think he might have been called T-Bar. It's because they're like, well, Dominic is over on SmackDown. It's spelled exactly the same, too. Anyways, Keith Lee versus Dijakovic. Now you got me saying it. For the WWE Championship. A lot of back and forth action. You know, they're really showcasing, trying to have that classic match. The idea being that we're trying to showcase Dijakovic as a, you know, he's keeping up and being a threat towards Keith Lee. But Keith Lee is the one that is ultimately able to get the win here and retain his WWE Championship.
I like it.
You know, defeating Dijakovic, kind of in a way proving Roman Reigns wrong there at the top of the show, and just saying, you know,
Keith Lee isn't washed up yet.
No, I'm not. I'm not keeping your seat warm. This is my chair. You know, this is my seat.
Yeah.
After the match, Lee shakes hands with Dijakovic and raises Dijakovic's arm. You know, as a sign of respect. Dijakovic looks over at Keith Lee, spins him over, and kicks Keith Lee into the balls.
No!
Heel turn, baby.
This is what happens when you lose your first name.
Dijakovic picks up the
WWE. You turn your back on your friends.
Dijakovic picks up the WWE Championship, sort of signaling the idea that he wants the title, or coming for Keith Lee, or believes he deserves it. Suddenly, Drew McIntyre's music hits.
Excuse! Wow, lots of things happening here.
And Drew runs down to make the save. Then when the save is done, you know, Claymore and all that, Roman Reigns runs in from out of nowhere and spears McIntyre. Reigns then picks up the WWE Championship and stands tall at the end with the title that he believes he deserves.
Big ending on Raw here.
No, Biggie's on SmackDown.
Wait. Shut up. Wait. Do you hear that?
What's that?
I think I hear Teddy Long coming. Could it be? Could it be we're setting up for a tag team match, playa?
I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. Maybe next week has a cool main event. I mean, maybe it just has a cool main event, and maybe that's it. Maybe
this ending spot on Raw just has Teddy Long written all over it, baby.
If that's a cool main event next week, that's not my problem if that's what it happens to be. I mean, not having to be, but potentially could be.
I guess we'll see.
I guess we'll find out next week.
Yeah.
So there we go. That's Monday Night Raw for you folks. Mikey, thoughts, comments, concerns, questions?
I like Raw a lot. You got a lot of new storylines coming in right off the bat. We got a lot of new rivalries brewing. We got the tag team, the possible Teddy Long setup at the end. I like this Liv Morgan Rhea Ripley storyline still going on. I want to see where it goes. I'm very interested in it. It's going to be the new We need Detective Truth back to figure out what's going on over there. but all around, I think Raw was great.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's time to fuck with it. Don't screw me over then. Randomize me, baby.
All right, here we go, Ryan.
Like we said at the top of the show, Raw lost the poll last weekend. So we're going to hit the randomizer. It's like a list of 40 items, you know, ranging from injuries to wellness policy violations to heel turns to what have you. I feel like I have a lot of different things in there, like heel turns and whatnot, so I might be safe, hopefully, this week from a lot of changes. We'll find out, I guess. But, you know, it's a way to keep us realistic, like I said at the top of the show. So it's a good way to do that. You know, because we can't just be perfect in a vacuum.
Ryan?
Yes?
It turns out on the randomizer that it is smiling down on SmackDown because I got a miraculous recovery.
Oh, very nice, my dude.
I get to roll a D whatever to see which injured wrestler gets healed faster, and then a D4 plus one to see how many weeks they can knock off their injury.
Well,
I have two current injuries. We have Danny Burch and Humberto Carrillo.
Yes, this is true, which I believe Danny Burch was somebody that you lowered his injury on. I feel like you had a miraculous recovery already and lowered some. It might have been Bobby Fish.
I have it. It was very recent. I have gotten a miraculous recovery, and it's pretty excited about it.
Yes. Well, basically, flip a coin, see who's getting it. Getting this.
I have a coin right here.
Okay. Who's heads? Who's tails?
Let's say Danny Burch is heads, Humberto Carrillo is tails, and let's see what I got. We got tails. Humberto Carrillo gets a miraculous recovery.
Humberto Carrillo currently scheduled to return May 2nd, 2021.
Ooh, okay. Well, it's going to be shorter now.
Yeah.
By 2 weeks, because I got a one.
One. Is it one plus one? That's what it is?
Yes.
2 weeks.
It was whatever. 2 weeks off of his injury.
Okay, cool. So that brings him to, let's move him up, moving the calendar all around. That brings him to April 18th, 2021. Still very far away, but hey, you know,
hey,
all the matter.
Still a little bit shorter. Anything helps, right?
Speaking of Humberto Carrillo, I was watching Survivor Series, the kickoff show with the Battle Royal, and Humberto Carrillo was starting to grow facial hair, and I'm like, oh man, that's a heel Humberto Carrillo if I've ever seen one.
That's a heel turn, man.
Yeah, I was like, oh man,
those dimples?
He's I can't wait. I can't wait for him, our Humberto, to return in April with a full-ass beard. just so he's like, oh yeah, he's definitely a heel. He's definitely a heel, folks.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Nice. SmackDown Smiling Gods. Humberto Carrillo helping that out. You know,
randomizer giving me a little hope.
Yeah, not a huge, huge thing, but, you know, April, that is, you know.
It's better than something bad happening, right?
That's true. Definitely something true. He would potentially return. Now he might return at the pay-per-view after WrestleMania. What is it, like Backlash or something?
Something.
You know, it's a little bit better. Good job. Good on Humberto. Yeah. Okay. Though with that out of the way, let's go to SmackDown.
All right. Over on SmackDown. Well, Ryan, you aren't the only one with the champion opening up the show. We have Sami Zayn opening up SmackDown. Comes to the ring with his Universal title, and he grabs a mic. He says, you know what? Let's cut to the chase. Keith Lee, I told you that all you were going to be was a stepping stone on my way to becoming this company's greatest Universal champion. And it looks like I was right. I came out on top, and I beat the Limitless One and proved that I'm not just some joke in this company. I'm not just some pushover. I'm a force to be reckoned with, and I'm not going to let anyone in that locker room forget it. Sammy drops the mic, and he goes to leave the ring. But then we hear none other than the Firefly Funhouse music. And Ramblin' Rabbit comes on the Titantron and looks nervous, and he's stuttering and says, Bray, I don't think we're on Raw anymore. Bray pops out from behind the door and he says, wow, Ramblin' Rabbit, you're right. It's much different over here. Everything feels more blue. And then the screen like tints blue and him and Ramblin' Rabbit look very sad for a second. But then Bray snaps out of it and says,
I like the idea that his sweater turned blue for a second.
Yeah, just like everything, like the screen tints blue, and then Bray snaps out of it and says, but that doesn't mean we have to be. I mean, just think of all the new friends we can make here on SmackDown. Friends like Sami Zayn. Bray's face then gets darker, and he gets a little more serious and says, what do you say, Sammy? You want to let me in? And then the screen goes dark, and Sammy is left in the ring speechless.
Ooh, very nice little opener of Bray Wyatt here. Very nice little promo from here. I like that a lot.
Also, the Fiend's SmackDown debut.
This is true. His SmackDown debut. I like to see it, folks. You love to see it. Also, I do want to just point out the complete difference in character and just win and loss versus Keith Lee opening Raw and Sami Zayn opening SmackDown. Like, the same concept, but then, like, in kayfabe, what they talk about, you know? Like, Keith Lee being like, I don't know what happened, but yeah, we lost.
And Sami Zayn won! Like, I told best. You!
Just the perfect, like, character differences there. Yeah. I loved it.
All right. We're going to roll into match number one here. We have Grand Metalik taking on Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Roll's Hall.
However, during the match, Kalisto runs to the ringside, distracting Grand Metalik, which allows Jeff Hardy to hit the Twist of Fate Swanton combination and win the match. So Jeff Hardy picks up a win here, thanks to Kalisto distracting Grand Metalik. Looks like this feud's not quite over.
No, it is not. Good on Jeff Hardy to get an actual win in this goddamn company.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, Jeff.
Yeah, it's been rough for Jeff.
Oh, jeez. I wonder what his record is.
After
2-12. He's now 3-12.
After that, we have a backstage interview with Sheamus about his win over Ricochet at Survivor Series. Ryan, I want you to not take it personally, but I'm going to mention Survivor Series a lot in this.
That's fine. I lost.
So, backstage interview with Sheamus talking about his win over Ricochet at Survivor Series. He says, I told everyone that Ricochet doesn't deserve to be a champion, that he wasn't ready for the target on his back, and then he gets cut off by Kevin Owens, who steps into the interview and says, interesting that you mention having a target on your back, Sheamus, because I've had my sights on you since I beat you a few weeks ago to get on that Survivor Series team. I distinctly remember pinning you in the middle of that ring. And you're lucky it wasn't for the title, or else it would have been me taking on Ricochet at Survivor Series. Sheamus laughs and says, sure, Owens, you got lucky. Too bad that luck didn't carry over into your match on Sunday when Captain KO couldn't get it done. Same is going to happen if you come after this title.
Wasn't Captain KO one of, like, the first people eliminated?
Was the first person on the team. Same is going to happen if you come after this title. Sheamus walks away, and Owens scoffs and also walks off screen. So just a little quick promo there, possibly setting up a Sheamus-Kevin Owens feud for that title, since Kevin Owens did get a clean win over Sheamus a few weeks ago.
This is accurate. This is definitely accurate.
Well, next up, we have a tag team match between the Usos and Breezango, with the Usos picking up the victory. So the Usos kind of getting on a roll here.
Oh, nice on the Usos, getting a little... I think this is also the SmackDown official debut, their official return for Breezango. Yes, but they end up losing to the Usos, who get that roll on through here.
Mm-hmm.
Good on the Usos.
After that, we have a video package. We have Charlotte Flair sitting on a throne with all of her past titles on the wall behind her. She says... Oh. At Survivor Series, SmackDown proved that we don't only hold a candle to Raw, we surpass them. All of our champions proved that SmackDown hold on, my brain is moving faster than my mouth.
You're excited.
All of our champions proved that SmackDown is where the really dominant champions live. Well, all except for one. Sasha Banks. Sasha, you dropped the ball against Baszler and put a dent in our almost perfect record. You may think you have what it takes to hold that title, but after Sunday, it's so clear to me that you don't. I'm going to make sure that title ends up in the hands of someone who deserves it. Someone who can live up to the expectations of being a champion. Someone who can dominate any challenger in their path. And that someone is the Queen. The camera fades out as Charlotte Flair's message is sent.
Wow. That was good. That was good. When you say all of her titles, is it like she's won SmackDown and the Raw Women's Championship, but is it like all like 8 or 9 of them?
Yeah, it's just like a wall of gold behind her.
Basically. Ah, solid promo. I love how like It almost feels like you and I basically took the same ideas coming out of Survivor Series.
Yeah.
Had, like, those reflections of it all.
Yeah, as you were presenting Raw, that thought occurred to me, too. I was like, wow, we have very similar, like, cards and, like, promos here coming in
like,
after
like
Survivor Series.
We had the WWE Champions and the Universal Champion opening the show. We had, Baszler talking about, like, I won and no one else can take me on. And then on SmackDown, we have Flair being like, everyone won except for our women's champion. That's why It should be me. Like, it's just like
a lot of parallels here, yeah.
A lot of parallels, indeed.
After that video package, we have match number 3. We have Karrion Kross taking on Bo Dallas.
Can I guess who wins?
Yes.
Is it Karrion Kross?
It is Karrion Kross. It is a very quick match. Karrion Kross gets like maybe a move or two in and beats Bo Dallas.
Yeah. It's all about the entrance, baby.
Yeah. After that squash match, we have a backstage interview with Seth Rollins about being back on SmackDown. Rollins says, after my time on Raw, I've learned some things about myself and about the so-called talent in this company. I learned that all these superstars aren't equipped with the skills to really be here. They need guidance. They need a mentor, a locker room leader, and I'm here to fill that role. I will shepherd the superstars of this brand to greatness and show them that under my wing, anything is possible. Just ask Mastiff. He came to me with no direction, and now he's feared among his competition, and it's all thanks to me. I'll show everyone what it means to be somebody, starting with my match tonight against AJ Styles.
Wow.
He will be the sacrifice that is needed for the rest of this roster to ascend to stardom.
Wow, AJ Styles going back to the Japan and the women's promotion stardom. No, I love it. Solid promo, solid re-debut of Seth Rollins, solid re-debut of no longer the Monday Night Messiah, but the savior of SmackDown.
Yeah. Going from the Monday Night Messiah to the savior of SmackDown.
Yes. And then a huge main event. Huge main event.
Yeah.
Huge difference in our main events. We got the WWE Championship, Lee and Dijakovic versus Rollins versus Styles. 2, I think?
Yeah, I went big
or
here.
Three. I think it's technically 3.
Yeah, we've done this a few times. Not like since we split, I don't think. We've had a match with them both. Maybe you have over on Raw, but...
I don't think I did, because Seth Rollins was in a feud with New Day and then Edge, so I don't think I ever had the Styles match. I think in the however long we've been doing this show, this is Styles versus Rollins 3.
Yeah.
Wow. Would you look at that?
Well, after that backstage interview with Rollins, we have match number 4. We have Toni Storm taking on Piper Niven.
Hey.
And Toni Storm picks up the victory, but after the match, Toni Storm helps Piper to her feet, and the two give each other a hug, and Piper raises Storm's hand, and the two kind of walk out, like, together, you know? Like, mm-hmm. We had a great match. We're both fine with it. We're both fine with the outcome. There's no hatred here, you know? Just a solid, decent match between two friendly competitors.
Yeah, I like that. Sort of giving me maybe a tag team vibe there.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, they are friends, so that would be a nice little NXT UK tag team there.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
After that match, we have a backstage interview with AJ about the comments made from Seth Rollins. AJ says, I don't know who Seth thinks he is, preaching all this stuff about being a mentor, being a locker room leader, making sacrifices or whatever. Sure, he's talented and has something special, but it's not his place to decide who makes it in this industry and who doesn't. It's about hard work and dedication to the craft, not about getting approval from some psycho who thinks he's a god. But later on tonight,
there's only one god, the one true god, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
There's only one true god up there, and he's my Lord.
There's only one true god. Isn't that right? D-O-double-G, and then Road Dogg comes out, and he's like,
there's only one god above this flat earth. AJ then says, but that's okay, because later tonight I'll put Rollins in his place.
I can't even finish that promo.
Great promo. There's only one god above this flat earth, and that's my god. Oh my god.
Anyway.
There's only one god above this ladder.
Anyway, we have our main event. Oh. Seth Rollins coming to the ring with Mastiff to take on AJ Styles. And during this match, AJ Styles goes up for a phenomenal forearm, but just then Rollins distracts the referee, which allows Mastiff to push AJ off the top rope, which gives Seth the opening to go for the stomp and win the match. After which, Mastiff and Rollins beat down AJ and leave him battered in the ring as the two stand tall.
Wow. I really like the idea of that team of, you know, it sucks that we lost out on Murphy in that faction, but just the visuals of Rollins and Mastiff are very intriguing to me. And I like that a lot. I like that sort of inclusion between them all. As we see Rollins here, there are rumors apparently that Rollins in real life is going on fraternity leave. I think that's the phrase. Fraternity leave still works though, right?
He's going on a vacation with his frat.
Yeah, baby. Him, Murphy, Mastiff.
Yo, Alpha Sigma Beta.
They're all gonna get branded. Jesus. What? Why do people still join frats when, like, part of it is getting branded sometimes?
So stupid. Listen, in my personal opinion, frats are dumb.
Yeah. I agree with that opinion. That's the only hot take, though. The hottest of takes that come by the show. The hottest of takes, just as hot as that brand.
Yeah.
Jesus. Anyways, SmackDown. I like SmackDown a lot. I thought this was... I am upset how strong of a SmackDown this is, because I really went for it on this episode of Raw, and I'm scared that this I might lose again, because this is a very good episode. I like the idea, like you said, that both of us came at it with similar ideas, opening up with Sami Zayn, having Flair go after Sasha Banks, which, oh baby, that's a great match. I liked, you know, Rollins and Styles' little feud here. Rollins getting the win, big main event there. Interested to see where that goes. You know, good on Jeff Hardy, debut of Breezango, loss of Bo Dallas, just getting pure squash domination. You know, really, you know, you're starting to showcase that Karrion Kross mystique, that Karrion Kross fear. And also, you got Bray Wyatt the Fiend going after Sami Zayn. So that could be interesting as well. People change whenever they face the Fiend, so. You know, let's see what happens with Samantha Zayn here.
Samantha Zayn.
Plus the potential. I like the idea of maybe a tag team. I don't know if that's your plan here, but those are the feelers I get from it. Whether or not you do it or not. I think it's still a friendly rivalry between the two is still good. Will it turn into not so friendly? Only time will tell.
Will it turn into not so friendly or extra friendly?
Yes. So yeah, I'm very upset that this was also a strong episode of SmackDown, because I really wanted to win this week. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I brought it this week. I was ready to bring it this week.
You did. And it's all down to the people at home. So if you're listening to this, you can go head on over to Twitter @countoutpod. That's @countoutpod on Twitter. I think it's twitter.com/countoutpod as well. Where over the weekend, you know, this episode comes out Friday, so that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, over that weekend, you can vote on which card you thought was better. Was it Raw? Was it SmackDown? Your vote matters. Your vote helps decide who wins, who loses the poll, and really can, I mean, your vote helped heal Humberto Carrillo for 2 whole weeks. So, you know,
your vote brought Humberto Carrillo two extra weeks
of mobility,
of healthiness,
of healthiness.
Mobility.
So that is what your vote can do. The power of your vote really matters here. So again, you can go to @countoutpod on Twitter for that weekend. Every weekend, you can go vote on which card you thought was better. Was it Raw? Was it SmackDown? Only you can decide. You can also follow us on Twitter while you're at it, while you're already on the page. Follow us on Twitter, you get all of our thoughts on the whole world of wrestling, get all a bunch of updates on what we're doing. Little pluggies to get out of the way. Well, first off, I don't think we even say at the top of the show, Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yeah.
We don't celebrate holidays here, nor do we do any sort of Thanksgiving theme anything on the show.
We hope your Thanksgiving was safe.
Thankful.
And thankful. Full of and things. Happy.
Full yeah, of safe, food. Safe being the number one thing.
Full of food, yeah, but safety being the number one thing, of course. You know, have a nice, intimate Thanksgiving with your family this year.
Mikey, what did you do for Thanksgiving this year?
Well, this year for Thanksgiving, I smoked a turkey. I was in charge of the turkey for the first time this year, and I'm very excited about it.
Nice, nice. We aren't recording before Thanksgiving.
No. It went really well.
Are you nervous at all about the smoking of the turkey? Like, do you feel added pressure about it because it's the first time? Or you're like, I got this, I'm confident.
Oh, what do you mean? It already happened and it went wonderfully.
Good point. Great point.
No reason to be nervous, right? Oh, it already went great.
Mikey, put the brine down.
The turkey's Mikey, already in it.
Mikey, stop chugging the brine. God. What else do people do? Let's finish these plugs.
Transition. If you're a fan of independent wrestling, go check out Independent Waters. Me and Zach Batista, our show where we bring you treasures from the independent sea, and we trek it bravely, and we give you our review of indie matches that we thought were interesting. So go check that out every Wednesday on here on the Countout Network.
Yeah, really good Ryan. Show. Really, really good show. Go check that out. Go tell your friends about it, especially other people, you know, who might enjoy independent wrestling. And watch watch the matches and listen to the reviews. I think it's always worth it. You can also go listen to G1 and Only. I'll talk about it here. There was supposed to be an episode last Monday, but there, if you saw your podcast feed, there was no episode last Friday, and I'm very apologetic. I'm very sorry that there is
Did
no
you mean
episode.
Last Monday?
Yeah, last Monday. there was no episode, and I apologize for it. The issue with that being is at the time of recording, I had purchased the DVDs to watch. If you've listened to other G1 and Onlys, I've talked about how I found a lot of the stuff online. And this time around, I couldn't find, like, anything online for, like, the next 3 or 4 G1s. Like, I wasn't able to find, like, a lot of footage online until, like, way down the line. So I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do, how I'm going to fix the thing here. But at the time of recording, I still have not received those DVDs. I purchased them. You know, they're supposed to come in 5 to 10 business days. Today, at time of recording, is day 13, I believe. I've already contacted the supplier. They have not responded. I contacted them on Monday, and they have not responded. It's Wednesday. So, again, I apologize. I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing. Trying to come up with ideas about what I'm doing. I might have to just, you know, shoot past and talk about Moxley or Page or, you know, part of the later G1s. So I was hoping to do an order, but, you know, that might not happen. So apologies. I should have had this all figured out before I started the show to begin with, but, you know, dropped the ball there. So again, apologies, but it's still a very good show. You know, go listen to past episodes if you've not listened to G1, you know, episode 1 or episode 2, where we talk about Vader, or we talk about the 1992 G1 climax, you know, the NWA title one with Rick Rude and all that stuff. So go check that out. And hopefully, maybe they come in time, and maybe I can have an episode out this Monday. I'm not going to say any promises at this point since it is Wednesday. But again,
crossed.
Apologies for that. Yeah, big old fingers crossed. I'm going to try to send out another email today, Mikey, to see if I can get any update on anything. You know, I paid the money. I have a receipt that says what I purchased and when I purchased it. And just, you know, it's what it is, I guess. You know, but, you know, until then, you know, we'll find out. But that's it for this week's episode. You can also go to our YouTube channel. Why not prop that up here as well? We released our 2K outcome from last week where Liv Morgan defeated Nia Jax. But it's nice to just watch it, too. It's a quick little watch, you know, like 8 minutes or so. Nice little 2K simulated action where we're doing commentary over it. It's getting a lot of traction, so appreciate all those who have watched it, and who may have been interested in watch the show here after that. Anything else, Mikey?
I just wanted to say it's G1 and Only is a really awesome show. Go check it out. If you like documentary style, like talks about wrestling, you're gonna love it. It really takes you into the world of the match, and I really enjoy it. So go check that out. And definitely catch up so you can get pumped for that episode that's coming out.
Appreciate it, Mikey. I appreciate that. That's it for this week's episode. Mikey, name me two things that you're thankful for.
Two things that I'm thankful for. I'm very thankful, honestly, very thankful, really basic, very thankful for my friends, very thankful for my family, very thankful for being able to do this podcast with you all the time.
Okay, that's three things.
No, that's like one. I'm putting it under an umbrella. And I'm very thankful for independent wrestling. Independent wrestling has helped me a lot through this whole thing. Whether it was being able to go on a trip I never thought I was going to be able to take after we lost it in March, to just being able to do a new podcast with a friend and discovering new wrestling and reinvigorating that spark that I was starting to lose, you know? Because I get to watch old matches with crowds again. it just is nice to just experience wrestling again to its fullest, you know, with the crowds, with the fans, everybody, the person-to-person interaction, just being able to see that on screen. It's nice to not see wrestling where the fans are either screens or like 35 rows back, you know.
It's weirdly nice to see people's mouths.
It's nice to see people's mouths. It's nice to see people getting shoulder to shoulder and not worrying about it, you know? It's nice to see everyone getting crammed into this small gym to watch these two guys put on a show. You know, it's great. It makes you miss it, but I'm very thankful for it because it does it's reigniting that spark that I feel like I was losing so desperately in these COVID times, you know.
That's all. I love hearing that. Like, and I have talked about it a lot on Twitter and stuff, but I really am frustrated when, you know, shitty stuff happens in WWE and I see over Twitter people be like, I don't know if I can watch wrestling anymore, all this other stuff because of what WWE is doing. And I keep wanting to just scream into the void of
there's
like,
so much other wrestling out there.
So much other wrestling, so many other companies, so much other better wrestling. And sure, if you don't like AEW, that's fine. If you don't like WWE or feel morally corrupt by WWE, that's fine. There is so much other wrestling out there, so much other free wrestling out there. It's not going to take you too much time to go out and watch it and just see if you like it. just see if that ball can roll, you know? You know, doing Indy 500 for you, you're starting like, oh, there's a couple of people I like, and I'll start following them. And then doing this new show of Indie Waters with Zach, it's, you know, spinning that wall of like, oh, there's new people, there's new concepts, new storylines, new promotions I'm enjoying. Mm-hmm. So I'm also thankful for that stuff. And I'm also thankful for you, Mikey. We're doing the show for a lot of time, and I appreciate that we're still doing it, still having the energy to do it, still killing it with all these goddamn beautiful match cards, Chef Kiss.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm thankful for all of you listeners.
Yeah.
We're actually, Mikey, we're steadily growing too, which I greatly appreciate.
Yeah, we appreciate everyone who's jumping, who's either been on the bandwagon or jumping on. No matter when you started listening, we appreciate you all the same.
Yeah.
All of you guys rule. We love you all. Thank you for interacting in the polls and stuff. It's all great.
We, as many times as we shit on ourselves or shit on y'all, we still love you. So thank you, everybody. Again, thank you, everybody. We're deeply thankful for everybody for listening to this week's episode and all week episodes of Hit the Books. We'll be back all next week with an all new episode of Hit the Books. Until then, we've got two words for ya. Book it. This has been a Countout Podcast.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.